He looked down at the licentious purple perpetrator in his hand. The scepter of evil just lay there innocuously, like it hadn't just flipped everything in his world upside down. "Okay, time to let me go," he muttered angrily at it. He recalled what Dania had said to do. "Power me down," he declared aloud. Nothing happened. She had said to release it, so he took it between many fingers and let it go. It fell as any wooden object would, and he barely caught it before it hit the ground, feeling his weight shift in unusual places as he lunged downward for it. Maybe he had to say it at the same time? "I want to power down," he insisted, bouncing it on his palm like it was a baby bird he was helping to fly. Still nothing, and the bouncing was making his pectoral orb shake also. "Come on," he rebuked the wand. "Change me back," he pleaded. What was supposed to make these dumb things magic? Not entirely sure why he did it, Barry closed his eyes, hand closing around the wand. It felt almost alive there, as he slowed down and coaxed it with his mind. There was a sort of energy that pulsed back at him, like static on a breeze. He breathed it in, and something inside him connected with it, snake-charming it to his will. It was soft and elegant and eager to please. Despite his diminished vocal cords, his voice within his own mind was still male, and it was that voice that spoke to the thrumming song within his conductor's baton. "Power down," he willed. He felt a sort of click, like something slipping into a slot designed for it, and opened his eyes. To his astonishment, the little stick rose into the air of its own volition, and began to huff and puff its foggy purple haze again. It cycloned around his body, top down this time, cleaning up its misdeeds along the way. His wings retreated into his back, then his hair did the same on his head as he watched it in the mirror. It browned like old fruit until the female reflection was wearing his own haircut, which looked more like a pixie cut with his face and body still transformed. His neck and shoulders broadened before his eyes, and the angles reappeared in his face, jaw thickening. His eyes looked proportionally half the size they were a moment before. To his relief, his chest flattened like an earthquake among sand dunes, as his shirt reformed to the green cotton he'd picked out that morning, the cartoon dino having no idea the ordeal it had undergone. His skirt lengthened and split into legs, just as magic warmed his crotch, and he felt everything sproing back into place. It was nervy down there, and he made a "gah" sound, happy despite the discomfort to hear his own voice. His legs beefed up and lengthened, growing his hair back, and the sparkly purple pumps were finally gone, leaving him barefoot and himself on his bedroom carpet. The power down had been much faster than the power up, and Barry was panting with both the quick change and the relief he was feeling. He touched his own face, never remembering being so consoled by seeing it. Also, with a bit of chagrin in his expression, he patted the front of his cargo shorts, double-checking that everything was where it should be. "Hey guys, welcome back," he murmured aloud, laughing wearily. He hadn't really noticed, but the wand had returned to his hand, like a boomerang. Or a bad penny. Still, it had done its job, and he was back in his home shape. For now. Barry Anderson had awoken in that same room that morning, as the son of an accountant and a fairy godmother. But now, on the afternoon of his 16th birthday, he was a fairy godmother, like it or not. And part of him knew that there was no going back to a time where grape wasn't a piece of who he was.